Okay, this is December 1st, Dal Snyder, and the topic this month is unity.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, it has come to my attention that last week I forgot that it was questions and answers. So if anyone has a question, I will give you the answer to that question. If you don't have a question, we will start the new class for the month of December called Unity. No takers? No question? All right, Andy, turn to Michelle and say, I love myself.
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 And I love myself. Why is that so important to know that you have to love yourself? Because we've been told a lie that we are not lovable. And we've been told that lie by society, by the culture, and of course, by organized religion. And we get this feeling inside of ourselves that we aren't lovable, that we're not worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. We have to learn to love ourselves. I was talking to Rhoda earlier, and she said they went to a Unity church on Sunday, and what was the title of that class?
You're up.
It's your turn.
It's your turn.
It's your turn, meaning God has done all that God is going to do. Now it's your turn to do something. And it's very difficult for you to go through life, for anyone to go through life, if you don't realize that there's a love inside of you. And that is a self-love that's inside of you, or it's a divine love that's inside of you. And you must learn to feel that love and learn to love yourself. That means with all your warts, with everything that you have to love yourself. And we don't. So when we don't love ourselves, therefore we think that this thing called God doesn't love us either. Because we have been taught that we have to be perfect. That we have to be perfect, and we're always striving to be perfect, and we think, well, now, when I'm perfect, then I will start to love myself. And when I'm perfect, other people will love me. Give up that idea of perfection. Life is a process that you're going through. What we always want to do is freeze frame everything. We want something to stop. The way it is, nothing is ever going to stop on this plane of action. We are going to constantly change and keep changing. And you have to realize that. And you have to love yourself. Anything that's going on. If you have an addiction, you have to love that addiction. You have to love yourself while you're having that addiction. If you don't love yourself, if you're heavy, love yourself that you're heavy. Don't keep saying, oh, I hate myself. Oh, all this fat, all this, that, and the other. That is not good for your mental or spiritual development. So you have to learn to love yourself. So during the month of December, we're going to learn to love ourselves, and we're going to realize that we truly are connected to this thing called God. The other mistake that we make, we fail to realize that this is a user-friendly universe that we live in. It's user-friendly, and we keep thinking it's hostile. And once you realize that the universe wants you to succeed, it wants you to have everything. And same way with this thing we call God, wants you to have everything. You weren't put here on this plane of action to go through all this suffering and so forth that people think so necessary. And that is one of the blatant lies of organized religion. Because everyone will point out that this poor man, Jesus, suffered so. But Jesus didn't suffer all that long, you know. I think about 3 hours or something.
Sorry.
But
sorry.
Many people here have been suffering 30, 40 years. So it doesn't, suffering won't improve you at all. Won't improve you. The only thing that will improve you...
Hi,
Dallas. Hi, Joyce. How are you? I haven't seen you in a long time.
I'm wonderful.
Well, great.
Thanks to just many years of your teaching. That
Joyce used to be, maybe somebody remembers Joyce.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I will tell you a cute story about Joyce and I when we were doing it over at Candace's, and it was in December, near Christmas, one whatever night it was we where I was teaching then, and Joyce and I were the only ones there. Remember, you were the only one that showed up.
But I learned a lesson.
Yes, and I taught anyway. I said, doesn't matter if there's one or 100, I'll teach, you know. So we had a great time that evening.
Well, between you and Candace, it's just responsible for my having a wonderful life.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're talking about loving yourself, and we just went around the room and said to everyone, I love myself, from one person to the other. So, very important to love yourself. So let's do a little bit of an exercise. The reason why it's important to love yourself is to be able to feel that love inside of you. Because we're always looking on the outside of life for what we want. And you'll never find what you want on the outside of life. Everything that you want is on the inside of you. And we never look there. And this whole idea of learning to love yourself comes from inside of you. Once you learn to love yourself, that's the freedom that you have. Now you no longer have to manipulate anything to get love, because you already have it. We've always already had it. But we think we don't have it. So we go on the outside of life looking for it. And it dwells within inside of us. This whole thing that we call God, this whole thing that we call divinity or spirituality, lives inside of us. It doesn't look outside of us. And we're always looking on the outside for confirmation of something. Go to the inside and find the confirmation. So let's take a moment and just close our eyes. And just take a few nice, easy breaths. And start to relax. Just start to relax. And just allow yourself to feel. And to feel that love that's inside of you. So say quietly to yourself, I love myself. I love myself. And each time you say that, envision at your solar plexus, here at the very center, a small flame. And when you say, I love myself, that flame will start to flicker. And that flame will grow larger and larger. So say, I love myself. And use that wonderful gift, that active imagination, to see that flame. Some people's flame will be bigger. Some people's flame will be smaller. But it's an eternal flame. It never goes out. It is that divine spark within you. And that is where the love is. At the very center of your being. And each time you say, I love myself, I love myself, that flame is growing larger and larger. So allow that flame to get larger. Start to feel the warmth and start to feel the love that is inside of you. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. And then when you're finished, come back into the room. Years ago, we used to stand in front of the mirror. These were suggestions that I made. Remember, we used to say, wonderful, wonderful mirror. And we have done many things over the years to teach our minds that we are wonderful, that we are connected to this thing called God. The other week we did, I have enough, I am enough, and I do enough. And we keep doing these different things. Now we're going to move up a notch and say, I love myself. So during the day, when things are going poorly or when things are going well, just repeat that sound to yourself. I love myself. And you'll see all the difference in the world. We have to start with that. And we are never taught that. We are never taught to truly love ourselves. And that's why the world is in the shape that it's in. You see, if we all loved ourselves, there'd be no enemies, there'd be no nothing. We would go within and feel that love. And people who feel lonely, if you just say to yourself, I love myself, all that goes away. And you realize that you're never really alone. You're never alone. You have this inside of you. So use that, along with the idea that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. So with that, let's do the matter dance. John doesn't know it. We'll teach John the matter dance. It takes years to learn this. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
That's my key.
So, with that, I would also like to talk just one moment about something, and you hear this expression all the time. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. That's absolutely true, because we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. But I have noticed lately that people are using this in a very negative way. Somebody sent me an email today complaining about the economy, complaining about the money, complaining about all this stuff, and said, well, you have to remember, we're all in this together. Please do not remember that. Why do you want to be in that with all the other people? Remember, it's a mental world that we live in. If you think you're in it with everybody else, and you think that the economy is going downhill, and that you're losing money, then you're joining with what's called race mind. And you're just compounding that. But this was a metaphysician who sent me this. And you see, metaphysicians get very confused sometimes. And it's very tricky. I have said many times and tried to teach you many times, you must watch the movements of your mind. And to say, we're all in this together, is one of those little clever things that your mind comes up with so that you don't have to do anything. You say, oh, well, we're all in this together. We'll just say, you can't resign yourself to that. You cannot resign yourself to that. You have to say, yes, something's going on out there. Yes, the economy isn't good. But the source and the supply of my good is God. And God never changes. At the present moment, it's a fact that the economy is doing poorly. It's a fact that people are spending less. But the truth is, we live in an abundant universe, a prosperous universe, and that money is always freely circulating in our lives. And we always have a divine surplus. And we always have a divine surplus. So what the other mistake that this person made by saying, we're all in this together, they're putting themselves into the lowest common denominator. Yes, there are hundreds of thousands of people affected by this recession or whatever we're going through at the present moment. But look at all the people that aren't in it. So why do you want to jump in with that group that's sinking? Why don't you jump on the other side with the people that are making money? Remember, during the last big depression that we had in the United States, more millionaires were made than at any other time in the economy of the United States, because they used their thinking They use their thinking. There's tons of money to be made out there. Months ago, everyone was worried about the price of gasoline going up to $4 and $5 a gallon. Now it's coming back down. Now it's coming back down. The world is always going to change. The world is always going to go up and down. But are you going to go up and down with the world? Or are you going to know the truth? That money is always freely circulating in your life. And that you always have a divine surplus. And haven't you always gotten by somehow? And isn't it always sort of a mystery how you do that? What do people want? Do you want $100 million in the bank? Then you're going to feel secure? Money does not give you security. Money does not give you security. What gives you security? Your thinking gives you security. It's your mind, it's your mental state that gives you security. So you have to choose, how do I want to think about this? Do I want to approach this in a different way? Do I want to say, oh, isn't this wonderful? It's a wonderful opportunity to make money. I'm going to start seeing ways to make money. I'm going to start seeing money coming to me instead of saying money is going out. I'm not going to complain about the cost, the high prices, this, that, the other. Now, that doesn't mean that you run out and buy everything and pretend that this isn't happening. It means you use your wisdom. You use your wisdom. But you don't put your mental energy into thinking that this whole thing is going down the tubes. Because if you keep thinking that, this whole thing will go down the tubes. But if you change your mind and start thinking differently and start seeing money coming to you, start seeing the economy changing, the economy will start to do that. The economy is made by thinking, by thoughts. And right now, why is this all happening? Because you hear no good news whatsoever. You keep hearing the stock market's down, this is going on, a recession is here, this is happening and that's happening, and you buy into that.
Do you have time for one very funny thing about this? My daughter lives in San Francisco, and she rents out a studio for different groups, and they were doing gay marriages. And she had a video photographer, and she's got a grand piano, so there was music, and they were having weddings, and the money was coming in. Well, then the law changed, so now nobody's getting married. So this week she had a wake. So she's gone the other direction, and as she was telling me about it, it started to occur to her that she could advertise, because San Francisco or anywhere else, people are dying all the time, and they don't want expensive weddings, funerals, funeral parlors, they go for the cremation, and she could have the video photographer doing a video of the ceremony, and I can't think of the word for the ceremony, that they do when people die and they don't have a religious...
A funeral.
It's not actually a funeral.
Memorial service?
Memorial service, that's what I was trying to think of.
See, and that's what you have to do.
So that's just diametric, the opposite of marriage to a wake.
And
she called it a wake.
You take the opportunity and you do something about that.
And she said, where can I advertise? And we start talking about, well, what kind of a metaphysical newspaper or something like that, where people would want memorial services because they don't want to spend the money on these fancy funerals.
Yeah.
So that's such a, just hit me as being so perfect for that.
So anyway, do not say that we're all in this together. The only thing you're in this together is that you're living, moving, and having your being in the mind of God. That's what we're all in this together about. But we're not all in this economic thing together. If you think you're in it, then you're going to go down the tube. So withdraw that energy. You see, where thought goes, energy flows. And if you put that energy into that, hi Thomas, then you're causing more. Where you put your focus, where you put your attention, is where things start to grow. If you want to stop something, withdraw your attention from it. It's your attention that gives things life. As soon as you withdraw your attention from something, it withers up and goes away. But you keep feeding it. And we keep feeding it. We listen to the news and we say, oh yes, that's true. Oh yes, that's true. You see, the world only teaches facts. It never teaches the truth. Just teaches facts. And facts change. The truth always remains the same. So the fact of the present moment is that economically, we're not so hot. But the truth is, we live in an abundant universe and money is always freely circulating in your life. And there's always a divine surplus. So that is why you cannot say we are all in this together. And a metaphysician should never say that, except when it's we're all in this together, because we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God, and we are all connected spiritually. We're all connected spiritually. I would like to also talk a minute about that being connected spiritually and so forth. And this whole idea of metaphysics is learning to change your mind. It's learning to raise your consciousness to a different way of thinking, to a higher level of consciousness. And we tend to stay on this plane of action, on this world plane, and we think all this is true. Many people, when I say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, you all know what I'm talking about. You say, oh yes, I'm connected to my parents and I'm the apple. That is a wonderful thing. Now move it up higher in consciousness and realize that if you're one with God, then God has to be the tree and you have to be the apple. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Therefore, here's where the unity comes in. You have to know that you're one with God. You have to know that you and God are one and the same thing. That's why we make that statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. Because each and every one of us is part of God. And we all make up that. So it's the unity that we're looking for. Now, when things aren't working in your life, they're not working in your life because of separation. You are believing that you're outside of God and that you have to go to God or this power, call it anything, by the way, you can call it Harry, God doesn't care. When you think that God is outside of you, then you have what's called separation. And when you have separation, you're not going to get what you want because you're thinking that somebody else has to give it to you. That's why we did that exercise. I love myself. Everyone wants somebody else to love them. And then they think they'll be all right. Well, you know, you can't love somebody that doesn't love themselves. Doesn't help them in the least. I can say all day long, I love you, Amy, I love you, Amy. But if Amy doesn't love herself, she's going to say, well, he's full of bull. He's full of bull. It has to start inside of you. It has to start inside of each and every one of us. That idea. And then the unity comes, and your demonstrations and whatever you want come, when you realize that you do live in a friendly universe, and that this thing called God wants to help you. As Rhoda said it on Sunday at the Metaphysical Church here on Whitsitt, it was, it's now your turn. It's your turn to do something. God has given us everything. Remember? We came here completely equipped. We have a toolbox full of things. What is the largest tool we have in our toolbox?
Imagination.
Your imagination is the largest tool you have in your toolbox. So you have to start seeing yourself the way you want to be. You're saying. And it doesn't take years to change yourself. It takes a decision to change yourself. Anyone can change by 5 o'clock tomorrow if they make up their minds to do that. But you have to give up all those other old thoughts that you've been thinking about yourself, that you're not worthy, that you're not deserving, that you're not lovable. and that you don't matter. You see, and we keep masking this over, and we keep saying, well, if I get another toy, if I get one more piece of electronic equipment, if I get the new car, if I get the new boyfriend or the new girlfriend, then my life is going to be fine. Your life isn't going to be fine. Nothing on the outside of life, nothing that you attach yourself to, gives you any security, any love, anything. It's what you're doing on the inside of life. So every day say to yourself, I love myself. And that means you have to love yourself exactly the way you are. We are whole and complete and perfect. We weren't born in sin, which is another lie. But we think, because society has told us that, it's been around for so long, organized religion teaches that we start to believe that there's something wrong with us. You have to realize that there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. You're whole and you're complete and perfect. And this thing called God never holds anything against you. The only mistake that we make is with our thinking. It's just a thought in your head that you think, oh, I'm not worthy of this. Oh, I don't deserve this. That's just a thought. And you created that thought. This thing called God did not create it. So therein lies your freedom. If you created it, you can uncreate it. It just comes from your own vain imaginings. It comes from your own vain imaginings. But since everyone else is doing it, since the world is telling you that, you start to believe that. That there's nothing wrong with any of us, except what we're thinking. And we can change that thinking. But we have to change that thinking. We have to change that thinking. People think, oh, God will change my thinking. God won't change your thinking. Remember, God's too polite to put it into your life. Yeah. You have to start thinking good thoughts about yourself. You have to start to love yourself each and every moment. And what goes through your mind when I say that? Oh, what are people thinking when you say, I love myself? Well, those people think, oh, well, isn't he conceited? Isn't this going on, that going on? Who cares what other people are thinking? It's what you're thinking that counts. Learn to love yourself. You know, how much longer are you not going to do it? How much longer? Are you going to wait another 10 years, another 20 years? Are you going to wait till you're on your deathbed and then all of a sudden decide, oh, boy, I better love myself? So here's another rule. Food for thought. If you don't learn to love yourself this go-round, you're going to have to come back and learn it again. And you're going to have to keep coming back till you learn that that's the lesson that you're sent here for. The lesson you're sent to this earth plane is to learn to love yourself, not to learn to love other people. You see, and we're taught, oh, learn to love God. Well, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to learn to love God? You see, it's just a mirror. It's a reflection of what you're thinking. You cannot, if you don't love yourself, you cannot see God as loving. You can't see God as loving. You can't see other people as loving if you don't love yourself. Because that comes right up into your mind. You say, well, I don't love myself, therefore, blah, 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 blah. So you have to change that thinking. What's going on inside of you? You see? That's a big one. I had a client the other day, and I asked him if he loved himself. Poor man paled, and then got very sad and so forth. He said, no one's ever asked me that. No one's ever asked me that. And you should ask yourself that. Do I love myself? And then say, yes, I do. It's a difficult one. And it does make people sad when you discover that you haven't loved yourself enough. Now, the reason why you love yourself and you love every bit of yourself is you're creating everything. And if you think your anger or your thoughts and all this stuff you're holding against yourself or emotions, you've created those. They are your children. You must learn to love them. You must learn to love them. You must learn to love every part of yourself. When you learn to love every part of yourself, you'll stop having the temptations. You'll stop having the bad thoughts and the bad emotions. But the longer you deny that they belong to you, that you didn't create them, they're just going to keep coming. So if you know how powerful you are and you've created all this stuff, why don't you change your mind? Why don't you just change your mind about yourself? Is it because you're so used to not liking yourself? Is it because you remember your parents saying something or an authority figure saying something? These people that had no idea what they were saying. Do you want to take their advice? Why don't you take your own advice? You know, most of the people who have done harm to us aren't here anymore. But yet we keep punishing ourselves. They're not even on this plane of action, and you're still carrying on. It all starts with the inside of yourself, and it starts with this thing called self-love. And we've got to do it. So during the month of December, use this day in and day out. This is a wonderful time of the year to do this, because during December, race mind changes. The thought atmosphere that you're living in starts to change because we start to teach peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And the whole consciousness changes, flies back to January the 2nd. It immediately stops. But this is a wonderful time of the year, and you know that because if you listen to the carols, if you listen to the hymns, if you listen to everything, it's about humanity. It's about loving your fellow man. It's about loving things. Which brings up another idea, which is stuck in people's heads. Because you have this idea that it says in the Bible, love your neighbor as yourself. And you're always, oh, you have to be nice to the neighbors, you have to be nice to the neighbors. You're very nice to the neighbors, and then you treat yourself like dirt. Now, that does not make sense. It says, love your neighbor as thyself. You have to learn to love yourself. It's going to start with you. It's going to start with you. I tell the story, you know, I was a Boy Scout. And their motto was, God first, others second, and self third. And that's what the world teaches. Always self third. In this teaching, it's always going to be in reverse. You're going to have to love yourself first. Then you're going to learn to love other people. And then you're going to learn to love God. You cannot love God without loving yourself first. But we're taught God first, others second, and self third. Why do you think there's so many bitter people in the world? Their needs are not met because they have to first meet the needs of God and they have to meet the needs of other people. And then they're left out and they think, well, this is a horrible experience, this whole thing called life. I'm always sacrificing for other people. And they don't like themselves, nor do they like the life they're going through. But once you start to love yourself, nurture yourself, give yourself the best, then you can go out and help the neighbor. I love the expression, charity begins at home. Charity begins at home. Treat yourself first. Don't give away all your stuff to help other people. Now you're right with the other people. You've just taken yourself down the same road. But yet the world tells you that, and race mind tells you that. Race mind, by the way, John, is just the collective consciousness of the race. It's not, you know, a racetrack. It's the race of men, and it's what they're thinking. The collective consciousness. And that's what causes this world to go around. When we are able to get everyone thinking differently, everything will change. With the present economic situation, as soon as people start changing their mind and saying, well, enough is enough, this whole thing will turn itself back around again. It's all done with thought. We live in a mental universe. It's done with your thinking. Your thoughts have power. They go someplace and they do something. So let them go within you with the thought that you love yourself. You love yourself. And do that little visualization. See that flame inside of you. And each time you say, I love myself, watch it flicker. Watch it get bigger. And it will eventually consume your whole body, where you will be total love. Total love is what you are anyway, you see. If you believe that this thing called God created you, God is total love. Therefore, you are total love. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But we get into this plane of action and our thinking changes. And we get what's called earthbound. And we can't see what's going on the rest of the day. So learn to raise your thinking above this earth plane. Imagine what life would be if you really loved yourself. And then start seeing that and start acting as if. Start acting as if that were true. That's the only way it's ever going to happen. So this thing called God wants everything for you. But it can only do for you what it can do through you. And if you don't totally love yourself, how do you expect this power to work through you? To work through you, you see? It's just cleansing and cleaning the vessel so that God can come in. But we have too much junk, too much garbage buildup. So get rid of all that. What's going on in your head? What mental thing is going on in there? Get rid of it. Tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. Start loving yourself. Just start loving yourself. And you'll see all the difference in the world. I have some cards. Because you have believed that unless you are perfect, you cannot have God's love in you, you believe you are not capable of love. Because you have believed that unless you are perfect, that's the biggest lie that we were taught. And we were taught that because of this man called Jesus and also Buddha. Well, Buddha got angry. Jesus got angry. But we fail to see that. We think, oh, these were perfect people. They were never perfect people. They had the exact same emotions that we had. They just get over them faster. They just rearrange their thinking quicker. You know, a student once asked a yoga master, well, nothing ever seemed to affect you or bother you. He said, everything affects me and bothers me. I just correct it quicker. That's all it is correcting it quicker. How many times did you, in your life, years ago, did you worry about something for 3 days? And now, can't you do it in about 3 minutes and say, well, get rid of that one? It's just learning to control your thinking. Just learning to control your thinking. You do not have to go out and find substance of love. It is inside of you. It's always going to be inside of you. But the world tells us it's outside and that we have to have something added to us. We can add nothing to ourselves. No one here needs anything added to them. And no one here has more than anybody else has. People use more of what they have. But you can use every bit of you. And you can do that by learning to love yourself. We take up a great deal of energy that we could be using to create things by thinking all the time that there's something wrong with us, that we are less than. And then we go out to try to fix that instead of coming to the conclusion immediately that there's nothing wrong with us. Remember this expression, the dish is never dirty. There may be dirt on the dish, but the dish is never dirty. So what you truly are has never been touched by anything on the outside of life, but your mind keeps telling you it has been. You must control your thinking. Become a witness to your own thinking and correct it. And correct it. I know that sounds very easy, and it is easy, but we're just not trained to do it. We're not trained to do it. We just think, oh, well, we'll just keep living the way everybody else is living. If you want to live the way everybody else is living, well, more power to you. You become one with yourself through your love of yourself and all the parts of you. You become one with yourself through your love of yourself and all the parts of yourself. You have to love everything about yourself. You have to love everything about yourself. So do that exercise, I love myself, in front of a mirror. And many people have gone to many seminars and so forth who teach people to stand in front of the mirror nude and look at their body, you see, and say, oh, geez, I love you. Now, your mind will say, oh, yes, but there's a bulge here, there's a bulge there. It's all right to notice the bulges, but start to love yourself, and those things will start to go away. But you put all your focus into, oh, this is wrong with me, oh, that's wrong with me, instead of saying, I love myself just the way I am. And then you don't have to worry about all that stuff. It will take care of itself. It will take care of itself. See, if you truly loved yourself, would you have an addiction? No. Because you would love yourself enough not to have an addiction. That's why you have to love yourself, even though you do have an addiction, so that you no longer have the addiction. As long as you think there's something wrong with you because you have an addiction, you're going to keep the addiction. When you realize, oh, I love myself even with this addiction, the addiction loses its grip on you. Because it can't do any harm to you anymore.
I just want to give this example. I think maybe it worked the reverse way, but I was addicted to my husband, who was very abusive. I was addicted to the abuse.
Yes.
So when I went to Al-Anon, they said, look in the mirror every morning and say, I love myself. And, you know, you're supposed to do what your sponsor tells you to do, but I couldn't do it until I got a divorce. Now I don't have any trouble saying it.
Yeah.
But as long as I was being abused and allowing it, so that covers the addiction plus...
Yes. But you'll find a way, you see. She found a way to love herself. She divorced her husband.
It worked for me.
It worked. It's always going to work. Once you start to love yourself, something is going to come up that makes it work. See, it doesn't mean that he's going to change or that's going to change, but something's going to change. And the abuse is going to go away. The addiction is going to go away. But it has to start with the idea, I love myself. I love myself enough not to allow this to happen to me. God, the Almighty Source, did not program life for you to be filled with fear and trepidation and sickness into death. And see, we have to realize that. That this thing called God did not program life to be filled with fear and trepidation. And we're filled with fear and trepidation. And we're absolutely afraid of sickness. You know, they're all man-made. God didn't make sickness. God doesn't make sickness. God's perfect. But we get sick, don't we? We get sick because it's a mental world. You see, everything has to start in the mind. And we usually get sick. Why? Because we don't love ourselves. And we think, well, this will really punish me this time. This is what I need to really get myself straight. One more punishment, and then I will have paid my dues. So why don't you say to yourself, geez, you know, I've paid my dues. I'm tired of this punishing. I'm not going to punish myself anymore. You're not going to punish yourself. You're not here to suffer, to have fear and trepidation, to feel all these horrible things all the time. What kind of a God would create human beings to go through this? No kind of a God. We don't say God is love and then create something, throws it down here on this plane of action and says, there, kids, that's all you get. No. No, you have to. This is the way you change your thinking. But you have to change your thinking about yourself, because if you're punishing yourself and if you're punishing other people and you're doing all that, then your mind has to be saying, as below, so above. Meaning, if I'm doing it, God's doing it. You see? And God's not doing this. You're doing it. And you're doing it with your thinking. You're doing it with your mind. Everyone here is lovable. Everybody is lovable. And we must come to that conclusion. And you must come to the conclusion that you totally love yourself. And add to that that you're having a wonderful time on this plane of action. Here again, if you love yourself, you'll start to love this life you're going through. Most people don't like their life. And they don't like this experience. Well, if you don't like your life in this experience, what are you doing here? You see? If I didn't like it years ago, I didn't like life, I didn't like the experience I had. And I thought, if I don't figure this whole thing out, I'll just leave this plane of action. And I would have left this plane of action. But I found what's called religious science, or science of the mind, or a metaphysical teaching. And I started to realize that I could change my thinking. And I could change my thinking about myself. And I didn't have to wait for somebody to say, Dallas, you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. I had to start saying that to myself. I had to start saying that to myself. I come up from a family, very nice family, but they wouldn't give you a compliment if your tongue hung out. They would never tell you you did a good job. They would never tell you that you were good looking. They would never tell you anything good about yourself. And if you would say to them, why don't you say, oh, you don't need that. It's not necessary. Those things are necessary. The same way hugging and touching somebody every day is necessary. So compliment people. Works wonders when you compliment people. And if you don't get a compliment during the day, compliment yourself. Compliment yourself. If I would have waited for my family, I'd still be waiting. I'd still be waiting. They wouldn't. Rhoda and Andy, you were here when my brother and sister-in-law were here. Mm-hmm. After the class, they never said one word to me. Never said one word to me. So I asked my cousin when they got back to Pennsylvania. I said, did they say anything about the class? They said, well, they were impressed that you could keep talking. But they would never say, oh, Dallas, we thought you did a good job, or you're just not going to get it from them. and we're around a lot of people like that. So you have to start knowing for yourself. But you have to start loving yourself. No God created your devils. No God created your devils. You create your own devils. You know. Remember, this is what we're teaching here is called unity. If you have unity, that means that everything is God. And if everything is God, there can be no devil. And if you think there's good and evil, or a God and a devil, that's called separation. So now you have two powers working instead of one. And there's only ever one power, this thing called God. Now, this thing called God, that power can be used as evil, the same way as electricity can light a light bulb or it can kill you. Same thing. But you have to learn how to use this power that's coming through you. And you do that with your thoughts, with your thinking. Instead of thinking, God's making me sick, why don't you think God's making you well? Instead of thinking, oh, I'm poor, why don't you think I'm rich? It's a choice. Life is a choice. Your thoughts are a choice. The more you do, the more this comes. But it comes from inside of you. Please be aware that this is a benevolent universe. It's a benevolent universe. It's a user-friendly universe. And you can learn how to use it. And you can learn how to use this thing called God. Because we're not separated from God. All we are is God. But we are not all that God is. We have to go inside and find that. So during the week and during this month of December, find that divinity. Find that little light inside of you. Find that little flame. Increase it. Watch it. Use your imagination and turn it up by saying, I love myself. I love myself. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.